This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart, and you're listening to the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Oanda market analyst Kenny Fisher. Kenny, great to speak to you. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you, Johnny. How are you doing?
Yeah, not bad at all. It's a pretty busy day to end the week. Already, we've had new inflation figures from the ECB. We'll talk about that in a moment or two, whilst the PCE index, which, as many people will know, is the Federal Reserve's preferred inflation index, that came out just a few minutes ago. Prices in the US rose again in April, but the recent surge in inflation in the early part of the year maybe is showing some signs of fading. The PCE index rising 0.3%. last month. That's in line with a number of economists who'd forecasted the same. Yet, the core rate that strips out food and energy increased by a smaller rate of 0.2%. And that is the smallest since the last month of last year. So many will be encouraged by that and may suggest that we are going to see some rate cuts after all. What do you think?
Well, as you said, the headline and core rates were in line with expectations. The thing with the core rate is that it didn't change on an annual basis. It stayed at 2.8%, which is still a bit high. I think the story behind this reading, the PCE, is that there was really no change except for the, as you said, the monthly core. And it seems like the Fed will still stay cautious. The markets seem to be convinced that there will be a rate cut this year. But as you know, we've been hearing from the Fed members one after the other. They seem to be really trying to pour cold water on those expectations.
Indeed, because they're probably trying to get inflation down to a bit closer to that 2% goal. So perhaps at this stage, the likes of 2.7% are just too high. And they are very cautious. And we've been saying many, many times on this podcast over the last few months and feels like years now, Kenny, at what point are we going to see a rate cut? It is a fine balancing act, isn't it?
Yes, as you mentioned, I was just thinking that it's a bit tricky. I wouldn't want to be in the shoes of Jerome Powell. If you remember, at the beginning of the year, the markets were looking at up to 6 rate cuts, which seemed to be a bit too giddy. And then the Fed fell into line somewhat, saying they would have 3 cuts this year. But now that looks like 1 or 2 at the most. There's a strong possibility we won't see any rate cuts till next year.
And there's a strong possibility that we might see an earlier rate cut here in the UK, for instance, or in the Eurozone. And many always expected it would be the United States that would be first with cuts, and roles have now reversed.
Right, that's correct. It is interesting because, as you said, the Fed is usually the leader in rate policy. But I think the first quarter inflation numbers in the U.S., which were not only higher than expected, but actually accelerated, inflation went the wrong way. I think that gave the Fed maybe a bit of a shock, and they decided to put on the brakes for any rate cut expectations. But as you said, with the Bank of England and the European Central Bank, inflation has been moving down fairly nicely. And we may, as you said, may see rate cuts before the Fed.
You mentioned the Eurozone. In fact, we had the ECB numbers for inflation out earlier. It's a sign, I think, that the ECB still faces a rather uncertain journey to rein in prices. I suppose the question is whether the bigger than expected increase in inflation, which was 2.6%, will mean that the ECB will actually decide against lowering rates, because we thought that they would actually lower them the next announcement. It certainly could cement the case for a pause in July and a slower pace of interest rate reductions in the coming months, and possibly has put paid to any chances that rates are going to come down here in the UK, because they do tend to mirror each other, and that'll be pain to the Prime Minister here, Rishi Sunak, who must be really hoping for a rate cut before the election is held on July the 4th. So it's going to be fascinating seeing what's happening with the ECB, and of course, your side at the Atlantic as well. I mean, looking at that ECB number, consumer prices rose by 2.6% year on year. That's further away from the 2.4% in the previous 2 months. A lot of economists had anticipated a 2.5% increase. So that is quite disappointing, really. And I suppose goes along with what you're seeing in the States and what we are potentially going to see over here in the UK. Although, based on what happened last month with the UK CPI, it could be that it's the UK that bucks the trend, and we might see that targeted 2% inflation hit at the next CPI announcement.
Well, I think the ECB, it's actually, I wrote about that this morning, with inflation being a bit hotter than expected, will they cut rates next week? I'm leaning towards the fact that they will cut rates because they've signaled quite broadly that they plan to do that. Just in the last week or so, some senior members, including Christine Lagarde, the president, said they are planning to lower rates, and they would lose some credibility if they wait till July. So nobody knows for sure, but keeping in mind that the most recent inflation numbers were only a little bit higher than the expectations, I think they might be able to swallow it and cut rates next month, but they've been very quiet about what they'll do after that. If they do it in June, that might lead to a reassessment and until later in the year and not cut in July. There's no guarantee with central banks, so it's very possible they'll wait to July, but I'm leaning towards that they stay on for next week.
We've also had, Kenny, the latest GDP numbers from Canada. What did that find?
Well, it shows, Johnny, that the Canadian economy is rather sluggish. The year started with very strong GDP of 0.6% in January, but since then, we had only 0.2% in February. And March, which just came out today, was flat at 0%. What that was in line with expectations, it is showing that the Canadian economy is slowing down. Annualized GDP was a bit disappointing at 1.7%, and the estimate for first quarter growth was 2.2%. Interestingly, the fourth quarter, which had first been reported as 1%, has been revised downward to just 0.1%. So something happened in the fourth quarter that was quite a miss with the first estimate. The growth has been weak, and I guess the only good news for that is that the Bank of Canada will be under more pressure to lower rates. They are meeting next week, and that may provide some relief for consumers who are really struggling with very high interest rates.
Let's talk about the rest of the big stories we might see in the next 7 days or so, Kenny. Over the weekend, we await this OPEC Plus meeting. And of course, at the end of the week in the United States, it's going to be a good old non-farm payroll day, which, well, interesting to see whether that also reflects what we've just seen with the PCE numbers today. With the OPEC Plus meeting, will it extend some of those oil production cuts well into 2025? We might get a few clues. The oil price as it stands today, it's slightly up, around about 0.33%, both Brent crude and WTI. And when one thinks about inflation, Kenny, the oil price is key, isn't it really? And it's possible we're seeing some of these inflation numbers going up over the last couple of months or so because of that rise in the oil price that we saw after the particular difficulties in the Middle East. And interesting to see what OPEC Plus come up with over the weekend.
Absolutely. As you mentioned, oil prices have been somewhat volatile and making it difficult to understand which way inflation, the trend, which way it's going to move. And as you know, that's why the core inflation rate in these kinds of cases is a better indicator of inflation trends because it excludes energy. For example, today with the Fed and the PCE, don't have to worry about energy prices, which does affect the headline inflation rate.
As I said, today's PCE figures aren't necessarily a guide to what might happen next Friday with the non-farm payroll numbers, Kenny. If we think back to last month, hiring in the United States slowed noticeably more than expected. I think it was 175,000 last month, and economists had expected around 250,000, something along that. Of course, March, it was beyond 315,000. But I do think this is a key number coming up, even though, as we've seen over the last few months, jobs numbers are pretty volatile as well. One minute they're up, the next minute they're down. And who knows, maybe it's more interesting to see what's happening with wages rather than the actual jobs as such. But what are markets expecting next Friday?
The non-farm payroll estimate for May is actually fairly low, especially considering what we've had in recent months. It does show that the U.S. labor market is weakening, but slowly, even though the Fed has not yet lowered interest rates. And unless there's a surprise from non-farm payrolls next week, it doesn't seem like it will affect the markets all that much.
Okay, Kelly, very interesting to talk to you. We shall wait and see what happens next Friday. It should be fascinating to get that number for US jobs, and that could affect the next few months to come. Kenny Fisher, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Johnny. It was my pleasure.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.